Mehta, and I'm Principal Internet Analyst at ThousandEyes. I'm here at Cisco Live in Amsterdam, joined by my good colleague, Mike Hicks, Principal Solution Analyst. We gathered here today to record a special edition of the Internet Report to report on an unfortunate event that affected Microsoft, as part of which one of their services, OVA, was struck by outage. Now, this comes after the significant outage that various Microsoft services experienced on 25th of January, starting at 7:10 a.m., which we extensively reported on. So, Mike, could you please let us know what happened this morning?
Yeah, absolutely, Kamal. It's good to be here with you, actually. We're normally just doing these things separated by 14,000 kilometers, so it's actually great to be here with
you today. Exactly. Good to see you in person, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if it is under these circumstances where we have an outage. But yeah, as you say, this was a repeat, or not a repeat, this was an outage we saw this morning, which occurred on Microsoft. It seemed to predominantly impact the Outlook 365. So specifically that one, and looking like when we can see through some of the tests, it looked like it actually impacted the OWA, as you said, the online version, where you actually go through from that side of things. So what we actually started to see, we first sort of saw the outage around 3:55 UTC was when it first appeared to us. And this has started to impact servers. We saw it had a global impact. It went right through. If we actually then cross-correlate to see what happened on the network side of things, we can actually see at that point there was no significant network outage.
So unlike the previous outage that was predominantly network related, this one is application outage, right?
Yeah, exactly right. So you know, flip the two around, but it's exactly the same, that's a bit harsh, the same outcome. So the users cannot access the application. But in the January 25th case, it was a network scenario, as you said, we reported comprehensively on. And then in this case, it was sitting at the application level. And we were able to quickly see that because we look at the network, say, okay, there's no outstanding network issues, or no significant network issues is probably a better way of putting it.
Got it. So one of the questions that end users might have is, did the Microsoft report it about the issue itself?
Yeah, so Microsoft actually put something out on Twitter. So Microsoft have this way, they also report things through the admin page, but that's not only available to the admin type of people around from there. So they put a tweet out. It was around, the first tweet we see around there was sort of an hour later, around sort of 4:55 UTC, where they've identified that they've made a change. They don't go into specific what the change was, but then they're looking at seeing if the change had the impact or affect Office 365 applications.
Got it. So one of the things that actually was quite interesting when I was checking the status page, or Twitter feed for that matter, was the fact that it looks like they resolved the issue by unconventional means of restarting the service.
Unconventional means is a long way to restart the services. So they obviously made the change. We don't know what that change was around from there, but yeah, to quote the IT crowd, having tried turning it off and on again. This isn't the first time, and this we see this quite often going through these processes, where they get to there, and it might be something like a queue gets overwhelmed or something like that. So the quickest way is to restart the infrastructure coming down from there. So rather than going through this process, let's just actually restart everything going through. And this is what they said they start to do.
And within the ThousandEyes, what was the first thing that actually showed us that there are dealing with significant outage?
Yeah, it's a really good point. I think I've said this on our podcast before. I'm a simple man. I love my patterns. And we started to see this this stairway coming down, so this almost downward trend you can start to see. And then during that time, so if we're looking at it through Internet Insights, what we actually see is the number of servers impacted. So these are the servers which we're seeing sort of test fail or reporting back, in this case, a service unavailable, like a 500 or timing out type of scenario there. So what we then start to see is we see those number of servers reduce, and it gives us that stairway to heaven, gives us that downward staircase where we actually start to recover.
So that's potentially like as they were doing targeted restarts, the services started recovering in some kind of like stair-like fashion, right?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. You know, so we've seen them do this before. So, you know, we reported on it in some of the Pulse Update blogs there. And I've actually reported they do this, they typically do this sort of quite responsibly, where they actually go through and we can say, right, these are the times we're impacted. We're impacting sort of Africa is right in their business day or these regions there. And then they start to almost follow the sun when they actually start to do that.
Got it. And was this a global outage or it was limited to specific geography?
Yeah, it appeared to be a global outage. So it appeared to be going across. We certainly saw it sort of spread across multiple regions. In terms of the noise and the sentiment that was coming back from the internet, really, it really depended on who was online at that moment in time, because it specifically seemed to impact the Office 365, the online version. Then, you know, we're looking
OWA,
at a subset
yeah.
of using the OWA aspect of everything.
Got it. And it was quite interesting what we saw in the waterfall. Some of our tests do support waterfalls. And if you look at the waterfalls, one of the first things looking before the issue itself was the fact that it took like maybe 375 milliseconds for the redirect. And after the redirect, you can quite see very long times for the redirect to complete, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's exactly right. So the first thing we do when we hit the page, we go OWA, and it effectively takes you to your instance, your company side, or your from there. So that's like a 302 redirect that goes on from there. Yeah, and exactly what you saw. It was around sort of, in average out, sort of 32 milliseconds, 45 milliseconds. But then that was the part that was actually delayed. So when we saw the timeouts occurring and when we saw all the errors happening at that point there, at that point then is where we actually saw the service unavailable, because then that redirect was the thing that actually took the time, so we couldn't get to that service.
Yeah. So while the previous outage was, as we already discussed, was predominantly network-based, we saw like BGP events happening followed by significant packet loss, which directly resulted in availability drops for various Microsoft services. This time around, it looks like only application was affected. There was no packet loss. Everything was fine from the networking perspective, which is pretty good. But it's quite interesting to see that these application level outages have ultimately exactly the same negative effect as network outage from 25th, right?
Like,
and unfortunately, it happened to the service that's very widely used, Outlook. So if you think about it, some of the customers that we spoke of regarding the previous outage were saying that they saw like 50,000 emails being queued in their email queues and stuff like that on organizational level side, right? This time around, probably the same thing happened, right?
Yeah, it's difficult to say from that side, but yeah, potentially we can see that as we're starting to get to the back end. And it's interesting you make a point there. So the impact to the user is exactly the same. I can't use this service.
Yes.
The difference this time was we were looking at effectively at one service, or it appears to be one service around from there. But the other thing that was interesting to us, and you're right, there was no significant network outages. So, you know, we're talking about the internet,
yeah.
So we're going to see some sort of blips and latency and those types of things around from there. But there was nothing that could be directly linked or coincided specifically with that outage time. But the other thing to that, which was why it's important to look at that application in correlation with the network, because we also, what I'm saying is we saw announcements coming back. So we saw the 302,
yes.
So we're doing a redirect, and we saw 500 service unavailable in some instances. Some instances it was timing out, but we saw those, which is indicative of we've got a response with coming back from there.
Got it.
Now we saw those on the Microsoft outage on the 25th,
mm-hmm.
but it was also correlated with the network scenario.
Yes.
So
yes.
You've got to put the whole picture together to be able to say, this is what we believe is going on there.
And for how long did the outage last?
The main disruption that we saw, where we actually see the outage occur, so that light switch on off, just saw the outage happen from there, and then that step come down, it was around 1 hour 39 minutes sort of impact from there. So it's a very lengthy type of period. It's more than a blip on the on the radar.
It's actually quite interesting. The previous outage, at least the core part of the outage, lasted exactly the same
minutes.
Time. So I was like, are we seeing a repeat of this event again? Right.
Yeah.
It turns out we are not, but the length of the outage actually
very similar.
Yeah.
And I think I said to you before when we were looking at this, it was like, hey, that looks exactly the same pattern.
Exactly.
Exactly. Like the
super
thing.
Interesting. Yeah.
I had to check the date to make sure we're looking at a different one. But then this is where it becomes important. That correlation between the network, the application, looking at the details really tells you specifically where the fault lies.
Agreed. And, you know, thinking about this event, as well as with the previous event. This just outlines the importance of having proper visibility for your applications. Yeah. So could you elaborate on that one?
Yeah, absolutely. We go, you know, sort of big on visibility across in there, but I've also got to see that entire service delivery chain. One of the biggest things that we want to be able to see is who is responsible for this issue, so I can actually take steps to go around it. You know, in this case, I couldn't get to that server. We quickly saw it was, you know, the issue lay within Microsoft, not within my local ISP or my local connectivity. So therefore, I could either take mitigating circumstances, i.e. let's use Gmail for this message, or let's go to an instant messaging system, Slack or Teams around from there to communicate with an organization. But also, I could either just sit and wait it out, as we said before, to see what's happening. But it's really critical to have that correlated view of visibility of that service delivery chain, understanding the who's talking to who and, yes, and what dependencies are involved.
The other thing is, like, you know, this, we are speaking about Microsoft here, and Microsoft is, you know, one of these hyperscaler companies, super large company, you know, they are heavily redundant company as well. And yeah, if you think about it, like, if you were on the consumer side and you are responsible for, you know, application health and network visibility and stuff like that, without proper visibility, you might ask yourself whether it was your network that's affected rather than them, right? It's like, it would be a completely logical thing to do if you think about it, like, you know, they have their stuff all together figured out and stuff like that, while your network is, like, you know, much smaller, you depend on different service providers and stuff like that, you know, so it's kind of natural to assume that the issue might be at your side, while in this case, we can quite clearly and very quickly observe that the issue was with the provider itself.
Exactly. It's not you, it's me.
Exactly.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Internet Report. This is Mike, just popping back in after our initial conversations. After we chatted, Kamal and I thought it would also be great to walk you through the outage on a ThousandEyes platform in a little bit more depth. So without further ado, let's go under the hood.
So yeah, so as we were saying, so we actually start to see the outage occur at 3:55 UTC. And then what we start to see then is this rapid increase. We can see, if we're looking at the application itself, it's actually looking to impact Microsoft Office 365. No other service actually occurring there, but we can see sort of global locations where it's actually impacted. Once then it sort of starts to escalate up quite quickly. We go from 100 servers being impacted to up to sort of 459. Once you go in there again, looking at Microsoft Office 365 only. Just a quick correlation then, just to see if we're looking at an application itself or the network, we can actually see if we look to the network, and this is kind of important because we see that correlation between the two, is there is no specific network outages. Now there is outages occurring on there or impact from there, but they don't correlate through. So let's go back to that application perspective, and what we can actually start to see there is the types of errors we're seeing. So there we can actually sort of see some timed out errors. If we start to go in, when we get across there, we see sort of a series of 500 errors occurring as well. So we see sort of 500 Xs and timeouts and some 400s. All of these are indicative of some sort of response coming back from there. So, you know, we talk about this fact where we're getting a response coming back, but the fact we don't have anything correlated with the network is that what differentiates us between a network and an application issue itself. The other thing then was really interesting is we actually start to see this stepped recovery as it comes down through from there. So really sort of decreasing down. So the main bulk of the outage occurred, was looking at sort of an hour 39, but we saw this residual effect sort of going right through as we went through this process of where they actually started to do the restoration to the services themselves. If you just want to take a look sort of detail what that looked like from a user perspective. So first of all, we can then start to see, and let's take a look here. We're looking specifically just looking at Outlook Office 365. Again, we're talking about that OWA. If we actually look beforehand of what's occurring there, we can actually start to see as we go through this process, looking at the waterfall charts, we're looking at what happens from an application perspective. We can see the OWA redirect. So it's a 302 coming in from there. And it's a redirect. Now this is what happens where we actually make a connection and then we move to our own service as we come through from there. So if we actually look at that timing and why this is significant, we can see it's sitting around sort of a 78 milliseconds there. We're looking at this particular instance there. When we actually start to get into the outage itself,
First of all, we can actually start to see when this particular case is cancelled completely. But we see this complete wait when we're actually doing a redirect across from there. Then we see this is over 6,000 milliseconds. It's just actually timed out of that process from there. And that's then when we can actually start to see what's happening. So again, just taking us back before the outage, we can see the redirect come from there. So this is indicative. We actually make a connection to the system, and then we actually have this wait time. When it just times out, we actually can't do that redirect as we go through to there. So again, it's difficult to say specifically when they started to do the restarts coming in from there. When we talked about what happens from the when they were tweeting stuff out from there, it was an hour after we first identified, we first observed issues occurring from there, but when it started to recover going through that process. But then we can actually really start to see the recovering. We can see the number of servers being impacted dropped as we say from there. So we're getting to this period now, we're talking at 425 UTC, we're down to 145 from 457 at its peak. Then we actually have this peak when we actually now start to decrease the number of servers impacted. So what that means is then there's sort of less people impacted from a global perspective, and we're starting to recover the service.
Mike, thank you so much for this unordinary episode of the Internet Report. It's awesome to be here in Amsterdam with you in person. And for everyone looking at this, thank you so much for being with us. Don't forget to subscribe, and we're going to send you a really nice t-shirt. Thank you so much.